Well, we're right smack dab in the second week of a series called Don't Be That Guy. We got into it by going verse by verse through Matthew. And in Matthew 23, Jesus took some time and told the guys to, told his followers to make sure that they were not like the proud religious guys, the Pharisees. And we talked about that last week. This week, I want to see when Jesus called some people. We're going to see some different things about when Jesus called people this week. And then we're going to jump back into Matthew about 23 or 24, 25 and finish this series up. But I'm wondering if you know, everybody knows one that guy somewhere. Don't you know that guy? Or like, you know the people that you, how many of you guys have a Bluetooth? Do you have Bluetooth things you wear in your ear? Star Trek looking? Do you have a Bluetooth, Eric? I'm just checking to see if you can hear me. Do you have a Bluetooth? You don't have one? Those guys, you don't have to raise your hand because we're about to make fun of you. We're not really going to make a lot of fun of you, but if you have one of those Bluetooth things and you walk around with it all the time and then you talk, like they talk to people and you can't tell they're talking on their phone, you're walking through Walmart and the guy's going this way and he's talking and you're wondering, is this the same guy I just saw downtown on the corner that was asking for money, that was talking to everybody, or is this guy really talking to somebody and you can't tell? And they even go up, the guy wearing the Bluetooth, they never get off of it, right? They're at the drive-thru, they're talking on their Bluetooth, they're paying for their stuff at Buddy Boys and they're paying for their stuff. They say it'd be $7.50, $7.50. No way, I can't believe it. And the person ringing you up is going, what I do? And he goes, no, I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to right here. And they always seem to be distracted. You know guys like that? You know anybody that always texts? They're always on their phone and they're always texting. They're always on their phone. You have a teenager with a cell phone. That's all they do. For some reason, that's better than talking. You know anyone that Twitters? I like to Twitter some. And I'm going to take your picture real quick here. Here we go. I'll Twitter. I'm going to Twitter you right now. That'll be fun. So I'll send that in. And you see people but you'll be talking to them, and they'll do stuff like that. They'll just take a picture and email it to somebody, or I'll email it to my friend, or they'll do they'll text like this. It would be too rude. Like Bluetooth guy, they're not going to answer the phone when they're talking to you. If they do, that's really bad. And they go, hold on, and they start talking. But they will text while they're totally talking to you. I know people that have done it in the middle of a Bible study before. I really do. I've seen a guy do it one time, and I did. It was at my house even. And it was me. And so, it was pretty bad. So I have this personality that tends to get distracted very easily. Like, I see something shiny. You ever see that movie Up? Anybody see the movie Up? You see the movie Up? Yeah, they got the dogs. They put the collar on them so they can talk, which is the best thing ever in a movie. You have a talking dog. But these dogs, like, they're not really talking. They're just, it's helping you hear the dog's thoughts. And the dog's thoughts is always like, oh, I'm so glad you're back. I'm so glad you're back. I'm so glad you're back. I thought you were never coming back. And all of a sudden, squirrel. And they lose it because they see a little squirrel run by, and it just totally distracts them, and they take their focus off of everything else. They saw something shiny. You know people like that? You know, distracted guy? And if you're not careful, though, like the Bluetooth thing's not a big deal. The texting thing is not a big deal unless you're doing it while you're driving. I won't ask if you text while you drive. You should not do that. That's our official stance as a church. You should not text while you drive. Our leadership doesn't always follow that stance, but that's the rule. And so those things you can get away with, but you know there are other people that are so distracted by shiny stuff in life, by their hobby, by their career, by making money, that they miss out on the most important things. They miss out on their family. It's like, I'm going to go try to make a bunch of money to provide for my family, and then you never get to be with your family. It's kind of like you got distracted, or you thought that, man, you have these opportunities that come along once in a lifetime, and if you don't stop and drop everything and focus on them sometimes, you'll end up being that guy. You'll be that guy that gets to the end of his life, or that girl or that woman that gets to the end of their life and goes, you know what, I did a whole bunch of stuff. And I just, whatever came along, I saw something, I went for it, but I didn't focus on what mattered. And in fact, I missed the opportunity of a lifetime a couple of times. I had the opportunity of a lifetime Tuesday night. I was getting ready to go preach to some college students. I was eating dinner with Sean and Jared. And they just looked at me and they said, hey, we're going fishing Thursday. Do you want to go? Want to go fishing? I said, man, I guess. They said, man, it's a great spot. I guarantee you'll catch a lot of bass. And it was crazy. So I said, well, I've got to study. I've got all this other stuff to do. I really don't have time. But then I finally came to my senses and said, well, yeah, I'm going to go. We'll just throw it all off. Need a day off. Took a day off Thursday. We went that way, and I caught in my boat, we caught 40 fish. We got 41, 40, no, 21, 42 fish. I caught 19 bass. also caught two brim on a worm. I mean, on a bass worm. That's I think that should count in the total count, but it didn't. They wouldn't count them. I didn't know that thing should, because my partner in the boat with me was Tommy, and he caught 21 bass. They weren't really big. Our biggest one was probably 2.5 pounds or so. But it was so fun all day long, and I can't tell you where we went, but it was really cool. You would love it. Maybe I'll take you one day. But it was so fun. But if I hadn't said yes, I'll go, I wouldn't have that memory. I would have lost that opportunity. Have you seen that show on ESPN called Want to Go Fishing? Anyone seen that at all? You need to go home and Google it right now. Not now. When you go home, you can Google it. But I'm telling you, Want to Go Fishing, it's the coolest show ever. It's in its fourth season now. Let me see the guy's name. The guy's name is Matt Eastman. What he does, he just shows up in arbitrary places. The first one I saw, he was on the beach in California, and he just walks up and starts talking to people. And he was talking to a guy that was a surf instructor, which I could tell right away that guy was just going to go. But he says, hey, have you ever been to Alaska? Just total stranger. You ever been to Alaska? Nope, never been. And they start, well, it's great fishing up there. What if I told you I had a plane ready to take you up there tomorrow to Elfin Cove, Alaska, and we could catch walleye and salmon? Would you go? The guy went, yeah. And so he told his partner, he says, man, I'm going to Alaska tomorrow. And he just gets in and goes off for a lifetime, the opportunity of a lifetime. He's gone to Utah. He'll go to places and say, and just walk up to strangers and start talking to them. Say, hey, I have a plane ready to go to Costa Rica tomorrow. We're going to go catch some peacock bass, and then we'll go catch some marlin. Do you want to go? You want to go fishing? You have 5 minutes and 2 phone calls to make up your mind. And they give them that opportunity. And I saw person after person have this opportunity of a lifetime put in front of them from Arizona and Utah, wherever. And they say, oh, I would go, but, man, I have this report due next week. Or I've got to do, I can't go. I don't have the money. I don't even know you. I don't trust you. I'm not doing it. You know, all these things come up. And they pass up on the opportunity of a lifetime. But then they take their cameras and they follow these people that just said yes. They just dropped everything and went. I mean, they get the fishing experience like you wouldn't believe, man. Big old tuna. It's unbelievable what these people get to do. Well, the same thing happens to us a lot of times with God. Because God will give you an opportunity every now and then. There are probably 4 or 5 times in your life, honestly, where you get that opportunity from God, where he says, listen, will you follow me? If you'll sign up and follow me, you will have the opportunity of a lifetime. You'll have the experience of a lifetime. You will end up in places you didn't imagine you would ever go. You will have forgiveness. You will have hope. You will actually be used by me to go help other people. But so many times we say, nope, I can't do that right now. Just a little bit longer, or maybe, you know, God, I'm not really sure I'm there yet. Come back and ask me next week, or some other reason. But that's the guy I don't want you to be. I don't want you to be that guy that when Jesus says, hey, listen, follow me, that you tell him, no, I can't go right now. Let me show you some guys that did that in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Can everybody hear me okay? Can you hear me right there, Eric? Okay, good deal. Luke chapter 9. If you can hear me okay, say fishing. Okay, I'm just checking. All right, good deal. All right, Luke chapter 9. Have you already judged them? Have you already got the scores? All right, so we're ready to get some trophies out at the end here. That'll be great. In Luke chapter 9, it's kind of cool because Jesus is here, and he's been, there's a lot of people around him, a lot of people following him. And verse 57 says, as they were going along the road. Now, someone said to him, and he's around Galilee and Capernaum at this time. Someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Now, at this point, if I'm trying to start a movement to change the world and that's going to last, and someone comes up and says, hey, I'll follow you wherever you go, I'd say, here's the card, sign up. I tell the guys, all right, boys, we have 13 disciples now. This guy says he's going wherever we go, we're good to go. But Jesus doesn't do that because Jesus knows his heart. And Jesus knows this guy put a condition on it. He said, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. As long, really in his heart, I believe he's saying he wants to go as long as he has a place to stay. Because Jesus then said to him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Now, what he basically says is, listen, if you're really going to follow me, I don't have a home. We're not going to have a place to sleep. There'll probably be days that you go hungry. There are going to be days where you have to lay it all on the line, and it's going to be tough. And the text doesn't tell us, but most scholars think that this guy just kind of hung his head probably and walked away. To another one, though, look at verse 59. Now, instead of someone coming up to volunteer for Jesus, with Jesus, Jesus actually approaches another guy, and he said, follow me. Now, when Jesus says, follow me, when Jesus says, follow me here, it is in the verb tense. Every time he says that throughout the Gospels, it is in the present imperative tense, which means basically that it's a command for you to do, but it's an ongoing command. See, when Jesus says, follow me, he's not saying, hey, I want you to pray a prayer and then go about living your life the way you always lived it. But it's a day by day by day for the rest of your life. That's really what it means to be a Christian. Being a Christian doesn't mean that you went to church, that you acknowledge God exists, that you got baptized when you were a kid. Being a Christian means that you follow Jesus Christ. And so Jesus says, when you follow me, he asks this guy, he tells him, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go, wow, and bury my father. Now, there are a couple of problems we have here because he said, follow me, and then this guy says, Lord. Now, who knows what the Lord, you know what the word Lord means? It means you're the boss, you're the ruler, you have charge of my life. But he says, Lord, let me first. And me first and Lord don't really go together. You can't say, okay, you're Lord, but I have my own agenda. You're Lord, but I'll get back to you in a little while. And when he said, let me go and bury my father, really there are two options. Really, most scholars also here believe his dad's not even dead yet. But even if he was, I mean, it was just the customary thing to go do that. There were other people that could do it. But he said, let me go bury my father. And what he probably means is, my dad is getting older, and when he dies, then I'm going to get an inheritance. I mean, I can come fund this thing. And then we won't have to worry about the foxes not having holes and birds not having a place to sleep and you not having a place to lay your head. So let me go back. Let me wait for my dad to die. I'll get my inheritance. I'll take care and tie things up, and then I'll come follow you. But Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Jesus said, listen, when I called you right now, I expect you to answer right now. Don't put it off. Yet another one comes up and volunteers in verse 61. Another one said, I will follow you, Lord. But he says it too, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Basically, this guy says, okay, Lord, I'm going to follow you, but let me go back and say goodbye to everybody. Let me go one more party, one more night, maybe he's even saying one more night of sin. Who knows? But he says, let me first. He does that again. Okay, I'm going to follow you, Lord, but not right now. I just can't go right now. If you gave me 5 minutes and two phone calls, my answer would have to be no. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Because you can't, you ever plow a field? You ever try to plow a row? You can't plow and look backwards, can you? It's kind of like driving and texting. Well, I guess you can kind of do that. But you can't drive and look backwards at the same time. So what he says to this guy is, listen, if you're going to follow me, it's an all-in kind of deal, and it's a right now kind of deal. And some of you are at that place. Some of you aren't there. And you haven't felt that tug yet, and I want to invite you to trust Christ and volunteer, but some of you guys aren't there, but some of you know you're there. You know God's got his hand on you, God's called you, and you need to say yes to him, but you're hanging on. You're saying, well, let me first take care of this financial situation, let me get this other stuff in my life cleaned up first, and then I'll follow you. And that's not how it works. You say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I need forgiveness, so I'm going to turn from that sin and place my faith in you, and I'm going to follow you now. You have to clean me up. Don't be a guy like Luke, the guys in Luke 9. Don't be these guys, the guys that said, we'll follow you on one condition. Be like the guys in Matthew chapter 4. If you have your Bible, you can flip to Matthew chapter 4. And I love this. I love this about Jesus. I'm really going to try to tweak this here. I'm tired of yelling too much here. Let's see if I can fix this a little bit. Check one. We'll try it. Oh, well. These guys in Matthew chapter 4, what's amazing about this whole deal is when Jesus started this whole thing, that we're here worshiping him, church thing, he started it with a bunch of country fishermen guys. He didn't have the best of the best. In this day, if you were a rabbi, if you were a Pharisee, a religious person, a really famous religious person, you would disciple people, but you would handpick them. You would go and you would get the people that were raised in the right family, that already knew a lot of the Bible, that had a great background in religion. And you would choose them to be your disciples, and then you would pour your life into them, they would carry on your teachings. But Jesus does the exact opposite. Look at verse 18 of Matthew chapter 4. Here comes Jesus on the scene, and he messes up these Pharisees because they've been going to the schools. Jesus has been a carpenter for 30 years. And so these guys have been going to school, doing all this stuff, and Jesus shows up, and here he is. He comes into town, and he's walking by the Sea of Galilee. And as he walks by the Sea of Galilee, he sees two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. Now, Simon was always getting in trouble because he would say the wrong thing at the wrong time. Do you know anyone that does that? Is it the wrong thing at the wrong time? Does anybody here say the wrong thing at the wrong time? Okay, you're in church. Okay, good. Okay, this is not just me. That's Simon. You're just like Simon Peter. He would do that all the time. In fact, this is like his number one disciple. And at one point in his life, Jesus turns around and tells him, "Get behind me, Satan." That's kind of bad if the guy you're really following and worshiping calls you Satan. You know you've said the wrong thing. So that's where Peter is. That's who, and this is one of the first guys he calls. He knows he's going to do this, and he still calls him. That brings me hope. Because that means that he knows that you were going to say what you said last night. He knows that you were going to do what you're going to, and he'll still call you. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Now, they weren't fishermen like us. They were cheating. They had like these round cast nets because they had to live off of it. If we had to live off the fish we catch, I'd starve. But these guys, they're catching fish for a living. They're using cast nets, and they're catching. They're fishing, and he said to them, look at this. Compare this guy to the guy in Luke 9. Jesus walks up, homeless guy from Galilee, been building houses or furniture or whatever for 30 years, walks by, says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, granted, they had seen John the Baptist point to him. This wasn't their first exposure to him. However, he just walks by and says, "Follow me." Look what they do. Immediately. What's that word say? Immediately. They left their nets. And they followed him. They didn't say, "Let me go bury my dad." They didn't say, "Let me go say bye to my family." They said, "No, we're fishing right now. Jesus, you called me. I'm dropping it. I'm going. I know I want to follow you." That's what they did. Immediately, their nets had followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers. Now, these two other brothers, the Bible also tells us they were actually partners with Peter in the fishing business in Luke 5. But immediately, they left their nets and they followed him. And going on, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Now, just so you know, these guys, because a lot of people think that like people that follow Jesus, you have to be really sweet and really quiet. Well, Jesus called these guys the sons of thunder. So they weren't like little bitty wimpy guys. These were manly men. They were tough, and they would probably get in fights before this, maybe even after it. They were in Luke, right where we were reading a minute ago. The verse is right before. Go home and look at them. They go through a village, a Samaritan village, which are kind of racist against them. They had some issues with Samaritans. They didn't like them. But they did not receive Jesus. And James and John come up to Jesus and say, "Hey, can we just call fire down from heaven? Let's just kill everybody. They didn't receive you. Let's just kill them." And, you know, they were just borderline Muslim kind of almost right there. They're like, let's just get rid of them all. Let's kill them. That's the kind of guy that Jesus is calling. And this is after they've been following him. He calls James and John the sons of thunder to be his disciples, and they're mending the nets. So he calls these two guys while they're mending their nets. Now that has to be the lamest job in fishing, right? It's like cleaning the crab trap. I mean, it's got to be the nastiest, dirtiest. You're mending a net. I want to be catching fish. I don't want to be tying strings together. But these guys are doing this, so it's probably not hard for them to leave, but look what they do. They're working, mending their nets, and he called them. Again, what's that first word in verse 22? Immediately, they left their boat. Now, here's the thing I can't believe. And their father. And they followed him. They left their family, left their dad. Now, if you're a dad, are you letting your sons, your boys go? They're mending the nets, doing the job. It's like they're cleaning their room, and all of a sudden, "Hey, Dad, got to go." No, I don't think so. You haven't finished pulling the weeds yet. They're not. That would never have worked for me. I mean, if that happened, that wouldn't have let me go. But they left their boat and their dad. He couldn't have liked it and followed him. But that's exactly how you need to avoid being that guy. Basically, here's the deal. When Jesus calls you, that's what you do. Immediately, you go. When he lets you know that, you know what, because here's what his message was when he came. He came, his message was repent and believe the gospel. That was what Jesus said. That means you turn. Repent means you turn away from sin and you believe the gospel, which is that Jesus comes and dies for sin. That's the great thing about the gospel. Those religious Pharisee guys, they had a deal worked out like this. They said, "We obey, we keep a lot of rules, therefore we're accepted." But the gospel says this. Jesus comes along and says, no, here's the deal. Here's the deal. You repent and trust me, and then you're accepted. And then you live a different life. Your life is different. You do keep rules, you do those things, but you don't do that in order to be accepted. You do it because you are accepted. Religion says, "I obey, therefore I'm accepted." The gospel says, "I'm accepted, therefore I obey." Does that make sense? If you're with me, say, "I'm with you." If you're really with me, say, "I'm fishing." Because that's what Jesus told these guys. He said, if you follow me, You will be fishers of men. You will not only keep this to yourself, but this is a message you're going to take to the rest of the world. And in fact, we're here today. Think about it. These Pharisees had the religious elite following them. And where are they today? And yet these 12 guys, these fishermen, tax collectors, people that nobody really thought would make it, God invested in them and changed the world. Here's the question. Have you answered that call? Have you heard Jesus call you? Not audibly, but have you ever come to a place in your life where you understood, I've broken God's law? If you don't know if you've broken God's law, ask your wife. She'll explain to you. You're a sinner. You've broken God's law. Everybody has. Everybody's lied. Everyone has cheated. Jesus said, if you look on a woman to lust after, you've already committed adultery. He said, if you're angry with someone without cause, you've already committed murder. So we're all lawbreakers. And he says, the Bible says the wages for sin is death. But he doesn't say you be good enough and you earn your way to heaven. What he says is you trust Jesus who died in your place, lived a perfect life, died in your place. You place your faith in him. You trust him. You become his follower and you get his righteousness applied to your account. Your sins get forgiven and you get to go to heaven and you live a different way. Not because you're better, smarter, faster, or stronger, but just because you trusted Jesus. Have you come to a place in your life where you really trusted Jesus? That's the question. Do you follow him? Not just acknowledge that he exists. A lot of people acknowledge that he exists. Most of us here today probably would. You're probably not like I used to be. I used to be an atheist. But you're probably at some point in your life where you say, yeah, I believe God exists, but the rest of your week doesn't show it. You didn't think about him one time all week until this moment. That's not being a follower of Christ. A follower of Christ means I'm trusting you and I'm consulting you before I make a decision. I want to read your word. I want to know you. I want to love people the way you love them. I want to do things your way. That's what it means to be a Christian. Because here's the thing, some of you understand that and you know you need to do that, but you're thinking, not right now, I'll do it later after I go one more thing. But we're never guaranteed tomorrow, are we? You're not guaranteed. We have right now, for right now, but we're not guaranteed the next minute. So if you sense that God is calling you and you want to give your heart to him, don't wait for me to finish this message. Just right now in your heart, you tell him, say, Jesus, I want to trust you. Help me believe in you. I want to give you my life. I want to follow you. And start doing that. Don't wait for one more sin. Some of you think, man, I've just messed up too bad. Some of you think, I'm just too young. You think, man, I when I get older, after I finish high school, then, you know, or maybe when I get out of college, or after I do all this, then I'm going to get serious about this. And this is for you, those of you that are Christians. Listen, some of you are waiting on some kind of sign to really step out there and do what you know God wants you to do. God's put a dream in your heart that you want to go after, and you're making excuses for not doing it. You're thinking, I don't know enough. I haven't been there enough. I don't have the resources or whatever it is. And I'm telling you, you just need to step out and say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. And you need to step out and do that. But listen, some of you think you're too bad. You're too young. Maybe you're too old. Some of you think you messed up too much. I know some of you. And you're sinners just like I was. And just like I still am sometimes. I mean, we still mess up. But you, some people think that they've blown it too much, that God cannot use them or won't accept them or won't forgive them. Well, just in case that's you, I brought a little video I wanted to show you here. Just watch this and listen to this guy. We got to unplug it about halfway so we can hear it well. Go ahead and hit the next one there. It should work.
Think God can't use you? Think he only uses perfectly qualified people? Take a closer look. Moses was not a great speaker. Jonah ran from God. Jacob was a liar. Noah got drunk. Rahab was a prostitute. David had an affair. Jeremiah was depressed. A lot. Solomon was rich in wisdom, but poor in lifestyle. John the Baptist was just plain poor. Timothy was too young. Abraham was too old. Lazarus was dead. Sarah was barren. Naomi was a widow. Gideon and Thomas both doubted, and so did Sarah. Peter lacked self-control. James and John were self-righteous. Paul had a short fuse. Well, so did Peter and Moses. Actually, lots of people did. God's army isn't perfect. It never has been. It's the march of the unqualified. Get in line.
Listen, here's the deal. Is there anyone in here that's ever been immoral? Don't raise your hand. Is there anyone in here that's ever lied? Is there anyone here that's ever been drunk? Is there anyone here that's ever stolen anything? Is there anyone here that's ever lost their temper? Is there anyone here that's ever been unfaithful? Is there anyone here that's barren? Are there any widows? Is there anybody here that's lost their job? Is there anybody here that's ever failed? If you're here, you're exactly if that's you, you're exactly the kind of person God loves to forgive, God loves to redeem, God loves to take and do something great with. The gospel isn't churching. The gospel is not, hey, let's get together and be good people. It's let's recognize that we're sinners and we need grace and let's trust Jesus and follow Him and live for Him. We want to repent from those things and stay away from those who can. But as we fall, we come to Him for more forgiveness. We say, Lord, we want to follow You. But being a Christian is not about just going to church, keeping rules, or acknowledging some fact one time in your life. Being a Christian is about following Jesus. So I ask you today, will you follow Him? And if you won't, what's your excuse? What's keeping you from doing that? I beg you, do that right now. I believe He brought you here this morning because He wants you to follow Him. He wants to forgive you. He wants you to experience this life. Don't make excuses. Trust Him today. Let's pray together. Maybe right now with your head bowed, you just need to tell Jesus that. You say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And you can say it silently while you're singing. Just tell Him something like that. It's not about a certain prayer. You just say, I know I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness. I'm trusting You, Jesus. I want to follow You. Just go ahead and volunteer and sign up. If that's what you want to do right now, please talk to me about this afterwards when we get finished. Come see me and talk to me about that. Some of you have been making excuses and you need to just go ahead and try those on God one more time. I just want to go ahead and try them on Him. Give Him whatever reason it is that you have that you think is valid for not really following Him and see what He says. Just say, Lord, here's why I'm not following You right now. Is that okay with You? Ask Him. Some of you are Christians. Some of you already do follow Him. You already do follow Him, but there is something He's laid on your heart to do and you're making an excuse for not doing it. You need to just surrender and sign up right now. Say, Lord, I'm willing. And take a step in obedience. Take a step of faith. Do whatever it is He's laid on your heart to do. Don't wait. Father, I pray that we will be people that actually follow You. We don't just talk about following You. We don't just talk about loving You and loving people. But God, we actually do love You. And we actually will love people. And God, I pray You put people on our path that we can help. Lord, I pray that You will let us be people that are known for the way that we care for each other and that we care for those that are far from You. Lord, I pray for those that are here this morning that maybe feel like they're a million miles away from You, God, that You will draw them to Yourself, that You will give them faith to trust You. And God, that as we come to You in faith, that we will experience Your grace, Your forgiveness, and we will see You actually change our lives. Lord, we don't want to just follow You for one moment, but for the rest of our lives. Lord, please let Your will be done in every heart that's here. Thank You so much for this day. Thank You so much for Your grace. God, thank You for my dad. Thank You for letting me be a dad. Lord, I pray You'll let us be dads. Lord, that when we get into our life, we don't say that we don't feel like we were distracted. But God, that we got what really mattered done. Ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.